Sometimes they are going to have constraints such as you cannot share the resources. Sometimes they are going to have constraints that, okay, only this particular race is supposed to work on this particular project. So it gets very, very, very deep. And again, information such as race, where do you get that in your scheduling workflow? You have to get that from your HCM system because ERP does not keep that.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at the independent ERP and digital transformation consulting firm Elevate IQ. What exactly is an ERP? It's essentially a bundled suite of various offerings. However, simply combining various offerings does not automatically qualify a collection of software as an ERP. The determining factor is the level of embeddedness that categorizes software as an ERP. Moreover, the components included within an ERP may vary depending upon the industry. While finance and accounting typically form the core requirements for an ERP, the approaches differ. Some integrate HCM and FP&A, while others incorporate PLM, WMS, and TMS. So where does Unit 4 stand in its capabilities and how does it stack up against other ERP systems? In today's episode, we invited a panel of industry experts for a live discussion on LinkedIn to conduct an independent review of Unit 4's capabilities. We covered many grounds, including their unique suite approach because of their combination for ERP, HCM, S2P, and FP&A. We also discussed the differences between service-centric and product-centric ERP and how they each differ with their process and cross-functional integration. With that, let's get to the conversation. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show. And if you're joining for the first time, this is part of our industry series for which we meet every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. We review one vendor or the solution. And for this year, we have a very interesting series. So we are going to talk about that a little bit. By the way, Happy New Year, everybody. So
Happy New Year, Sam.
Happy New Year, Andy. So last year, we had focused a lot more on TMS and WMS solutions. So we have a lot of ERP this time that we do not cover. These are slightly different ERP systems. We also have a lot of HCM, CRM systems. So we are going to cover the whole gamut of enterprise software, which is, I'm super excited about that. Andy, I don't know how you feel about the series right now. Obviously, we'll hear your comments as well. You have seen the sneak peek of the series.
I'm looking forward to the lineup, Sam. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So let's start with the intros, I guess. I'll start with my quick intro. Sam Gupta, principal at Elevate IQ. Elevate IQ is the independent ERP and digital transformation consulting firm. On that note, Andy, would you like to introduce yourself next?
Thank you so much, Sam. My name is Andy Pratico. I've been involved with ERP software for manufacturing companies most all my life. I lived in the U.S. for 11 years, and I also teach people how to uncover the truth about ERPs before they buy. So thank you so much, Sam, and show on the road.
Yeah, and today we are uncovering the truth about Unit 4.
But Unit 4, wow.
Yeah, Unit 4. Yeah,
this is a big one.
This is a big one. This is definitely a big one, really big one. So overall, Andy, I guess I'll start with the briefing the way we typically start in terms of where these guys fit in the ecosystem, in the value chain. In the software value chain is probably the right word to use. And then I would love to hear your commentary. If you have come across them, if you have any sort of experience. So overall, I guess, when we look at the, and by the way, I mean, since we are talking about an ERP, Unit 4 is an ERP, so this is going to be in that ERP bucket. Some of the solutions that we have reviewed, they are not necessarily in an ERP bucket. Obviously, everybody is going to have their own versions of what an ERP is, I guess. But the way we like to look at ERP is slightly different.
So for that, I mean, if you want to catch on other episodes, you know, on the series, then you would know which ones we call ERP, which ones we don't call ERP. Now, in this particular case, this is definitely an ERP, at least, you know, the way we define. So in ERP also, there are going to be two different branches, and those two branches are completely different. And that's why sometimes people get confused in terms of what a real ERP is. So those branches are going to be either an ERP is designed for product-centric industries or service-centric industries. And these two are two completely, completely different business operations. They are not same. They have very different needs, very different requirements. The kind of suite that they are going to require is going to be very different as well. And in our mind, when we look at ERP, in my mind, that's generally a suite, but you could have several different variations of how you would create a suite. And each industry is going to have very different requirements of the process integration. Okay, these are the terms that we generally use when it comes to ERP. So today we are talking about one of the leading ERP for the people-centric industries, service-centric industries. Their requirements for an ERP are going to be very different. So I'll take a pause. Andy, I don't know if you have any follow-up comments there.
No, I just was, you mentioned a type of integration just now. I wasn't familiar with that. Did you say process integration? Is that what you said?
Process. So the way, I mean, and obviously I am reflecting a lot more as, you know, I'm learning, I'm growing, and 20 years is nothing, as you know, in the ERP industry, Andy, to know what a real ERP is, I guess, right?
Tell me something, Sam. You mentioned two different types.
Yeah.
And of course, you were talking about service versus product.
Yeah.
But they're both ERPs. So how in the big picture would you define an ERP?
So yeah, so let's go back to the comment related to process integration, right? So now when we look at the process integration, I personally like to see the embeddedness of the processes, how embedded those processes are. In general, the foundational...
How many integration points you mean, or what do you mean?
Cross-functional integration.
Cross-functional integration. I see. Okay.
Exactly. So I will give you an example. For example, let's say if you put a collection of software in a box, is that an ERP? Nah, it's not an ERP.
Well, they'll say it's an ERP.
Everybody says ERP is a marketing term, right? So I guess, and the degree of the integration is what dictates. Now, obviously, the foundation of the ERP software is always going to be accounting and finance. Okay, that is the bare minimum that you need to have in the ERP. But how cross-functionally integrated a system is, that's what dictates what an ERP is. Now, how much cross-functional integration you are going to require, that depends upon your industry. It depends upon your business model. In some cases, you require far tighter process integration, because without that, you are not going to be able to grow, because, you know, in some cases, you're going to have problems with costing, MRP runs in the product-centric industries. In your service-centric industries, you have different problems. If you cannot really figure out the cost of your project, you are done. Okay? So
how do you get to the root cause or the kernel of cross-functional integration? I mean, obviously, when you're trying to evaluate these systems, you get sales pitches.
Yeah.
So how do you get to the truth?
So the truth is going to be, obviously, you need to hire experts who really understand how to measure the embeddedness. Okay, it's very, very, very hard to look at that unless you understand these things from the data model perspective. Data model is what dictates. But again, you cannot look at the data model or predict or forecast data model by looking at screens.
No, you know? You cannot.
So you really...
All you know is whether the screen looks pretty or not. That's all you know.
Exactly, exactly. In fact, I mean, the prettier the screen, the less connected their data is going to be. So most of the SaaS systems that you see, Andy, they generally are not as connected from the data perspective, and that's what makes them easy. So one of the requirements that most people who hate ERP is going to be, hey, give me an easy system. Yes, you are going to get an easy system, but if your data is not going to be connected, you are going to get wild, wild west. Okay. And the way I like to define Wild Wild West is from the data integrity perspective, meaning your data is not going to be tight. You are going to be all over the place. You are going to have two different versions of the customers. There is no control built up, you know, from the system perspective, operational control, financial control. I can keep going, I guess.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously my questions were redundant. I knew the answers already, but I just wanted to get your perspective, because obviously a system like Unit 4 is going to be using your term cross-functional integration very widespread.
Yeah, so in the case of Unit 4, you are going to see very different flavor of cross-functional integration, because in these industries, it's very different. The problems are very different. Okay, you don't have the same problem that you are going to have in your product-centric industries. But now there's also going to be a problem. For example, let's say if you are at the intersection of product and service-centric industry, then which software to use? Are you going to use slightly more product-centric software or service-centric software? Okay, if you are going to pigeonhole yourself in one particular software, you are sort of locking yourself in one particular business model. You might not be able to grow, so that's going to be another challenge. So obviously,
there are very few that do both well, for sure.
Yeah, they are going to be slightly more generic, right? So let's talk about this one. So obviously, this one is the service-centric ERP. And just to give you some more comparable, Andy, so I know that we have reviewed Financial Force, I believe, if my recollection is right. So Financial Force is going to be comparable. Now, I'm going to throw a term there. People have called us out in calling Workday an ERP when we reviewed, when we released our list for the ERP, and they were like, okay, is Workday an ERP? Okay, so let's talk about that, right? Because right. Workday is going to be comparable to Unit 4. And the reason why it is comparable is because Workday started as the HCM software. Okay?
Right.
If you look at the product-centric industries, the HCM processes, they don't need to be integrated with your ERP processes. They are okay in being disconnected, because the amount of communication that you have, the amount of operational processes that depend upon the HCM processes, they are not as much, because the resource that is working on the shop floor, in general, you know, you don't require the individual level accountability or the detail for those people in product-centric industries. In some industries, you might require, let's say, automotive, they care for that. But for the most part, in general, the scheduling does not depend upon the individual. You can call this as a resource, and resource could be pretty much anything that you want to model. But in these industries, you know, when you talk about ERP industry, professional services industry, service in the industry, okay, Andy Pratico and Sam Gupta, they are a big deal, okay? You need to model them as Andy Pratico as well as Sam Gupta, because they are very unique. They bring very specific expertise. If you don't, they have very specific rate that they charge for their expertise. That may not be the same in the product-centric industry. So that's where the core difference is in the business processes. And that's why the HCM integration, that does not matter as much in the product-centric industry. Okay, in product-centric industries, since they are going to be inventory-heavy, okay, you have to have your procurement integration. If you don't have that, then you're going to have challenges. So again, very different perspective, very different problems, and each industry is going to have very different problem. But again, if you are going to use service-centric ERP in a product-centric industry, good luck with that. That's going to be fun. any other comments?
No, Andy? Let's have a look.
Okay, perfect. So I have one funny comment from Anders. Anders
put a new ERP. Probably does everything under the tree for anyone. Well, every ERP
exactly
does everything.
Yeah,
at least that's what they say, anyways.
Exactly, could not agree more. You know, that's going to be the marketing definition. But and you as a customer, it's very hard for you to evaluate, because they all are going to appear very similar.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really need to look under the hood to be able to identify the difference.
Merry Christmas or Happy New Year's, Anders.
Okay, so I'll move to the slides, Andy, if you are good with
this.
Okay, so overall, you know, in terms of the process organization, I guess, I mean, that's where I want to focus on a lot today. And the reason for that is because, again, this is a very different dimension, very different perspective. And that's why when I was making the comment related to Workday, Workday is going to be very similar to this. And the reason for that is because for these industries, your HCM processes, they matter a lot. Workday has finance right now. So finance plus HCM plus indirect procurement, makes them ERP for service-centric industries. They are not an ERP for the product-centric industry.
Right.
And that's what even these guys are going to have. And some people might debate, hey, is Unit 4 a real ERP? It's definitely an ERP, but for different industries. So here, number one, and by the way, I mean, see, one thing that we did not talk about is the suite. And every single ERP takes very different approach for suite as well. So the suite that is going to matter, let's say, in the service-centric organization is going to be very different. So here, the suite is going to be your, for example, let's say you have ERP, plus they are combining a lot of P2P capability. Okay, P2P is a software category in itself, which is called procure to pay. And that's a branch of software, Andy. It's supposed to be a different software. Okay, yes, ERP has P2P processes as well. But when you look at the fully flavored P2P solution, that's a lot more than just the P2P process of an ERP, the way CRM category is. So all of these are very detailed enterprise software category. They bring very specific expertise to the table from their category. ERP is not always going to have all of that. Sometimes ERP is only going to support the subset of the process that is going to matter more from the operations perspective so that it can retain the information it needs for the integration. In the other cases, ERP is only going to contain the processes that matter from the operational integration perspective. Everything else can reside inside P2P. Just to understand the differences, here, the perspective that they are taking, they are combining a lot of capabilities from the P2P world in this particular industry that matters a lot. You need to have much tighter integration. If you don't have that, you will struggle in your processes. Because here, the cross-functional integration matters a lot more for your P2P, plus your ERP, plus your HCM. When you go to your product-centric industries, you are going to see ERP in the manufacturing, Andy. Now, you know this, right? Your CAD and PLM integration matter a lot. That's why if you look at any of the manufacturing systems, they typically combine a lot of engineering capability because for them, the critical success factor is the engineering. If you don't have that, you are probably going to have trouble. Okay, so that's why the cross-functional integration perspective is very different. So each ERP takes very, very, very different approach depending upon the kind of industries that they are targeting and where they would require that cross-functional integration. If they don't have that, they will be struggling with their operations. They will have financial trouble, even though they don't want to say that, or they might not know it. So here, this is a very different perspective, and that's why you have the HCM. Now, if you compare this with some of the other ERP systems, for example, Plex. Now, Plex integrates some of the HCM processes as part of their MES. Can you believe this? And the reason why they have to do that is because the individuality or the individual matters, because you need to track their certification. You need to track which individual person is working on a specific task. Now, you know, just because
with that specific skill set.
Exactly. Because that needs to go in your scheduling process. If you are not able to do that, then you are going to be in trouble. Now, in certain industries, Andy, okay? And I will tell you a story. I've been kicked out from a premises from a customer. They kicked us out because they felt that we were crazy. Okay,
so when you were crazy,
we were crazy. The whole team was crazy. You know,
everybody's crazy, Sam.
Yeah. So you need to hear this story. Okay.
Okay.
And the story was, okay, we were trying to champion that. Okay, you know what? You need to model every single individual in your processes so that you can schedule your production and the operations workflow. And they were like, what? Because this will increase their setup time. Can you believe this? Like, every single person on the shop floor. So let's say we have 200
people. Say that again, please, Sam. I'm sorry. Say that again.
Gameplay? Sorry, what is it?
Say your sentence again. What did they say?
So basically what they said is you want us to model every single person in the ERP system, identify it as a resource, and when we are going to be scheduling our jobs, you want us to identify ANDYND in our processes.
Exactly.
That's what happened here. That's what's happening, because the way I work here is I have a resource for me. If I have 50 NDs, for me, they all are same because they are doing the same job. Their rate is very similar. So for us, the work is going to be more. If I implement this process, then I can never run my business. So they were right, because in certain industries, to be completely honest, doing this will be a nightmare.
Yes.
Okay. So that's why in service industries, you have to model every single skill set, every single resource individually, but that's not happening in the other industries, especially the product. So that's where the real differentiation is.
So in service, you're saying every person has to be defined.
You have to. Okay. You have to. How do you estimate your ERP projects, Andy?
No, I understand. But usually I would think, I would perceive it as buckets of skills. You know, like these five have that skill. These five have, you know what I mean?
But you won't be able to schedule. So if you really want to schedule, because each person has their own schedule. Okay, typically,
right, exactly.
The assumption that production makes is if I have 50 resources, I am going to look at their combined schedule and I am going to schedule based on that combined. So let's say if out of 50, 48 show up, but the two are not going to show up, I'm probably going to be okay. That's how they assume. Either some people are going to work overtime, but that is not always possible in the consulting industry. Because right. Again, the skill set, if you have very specific, and that's the problem you have in the automotive as well. Because let's say if you have a welder is supposed to be a certified welder. Okay, you can't put just some random welder there. Okay, so if you have certified welder, and if you have five certified welder, you can use them as the group of resources, and you can schedule them as a group. But sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes you have to have that individuality. Okay.
Each person can have different certifications.
Exactly. Some may have their certifications expired. So that's where, when you get into these learning scenarios, the certification scenarios, that's where the ACM integration matters a lot in those industries.
I see that.
Yeah. So that's where the real difference between service and product centric ERP is that. And that's why, you know, when you look at any of the service centric ERPs, they all are going to have their PSA as the person, you are literally going to have their picture. You know, when you are going to look at the schedule workflow, and you are going to see that in the screenshots here as well, because the person matters in these industries.
Okay.
And the other things that you are going to have is the financial planning and budgeting matters a lot as well. And the reason why, and typically FP&A is going to be very disconnected function. Okay. Typically in the product centric industries, sure, you care for budgeting, but that is some, you know, software. You don't necessarily need to integrate that with your ERP. And the reason for that is because whatever you are doing in the planning world, you don't necessarily impact the operational workflow. Sure, once you have done your work, once you have defined, okay, what I need to incorporate in my workflow, then I will do that. But for the most part, you don't necessarily require the tight integration of your, you know, FP&A, SNOP, all of that in the product-centric industries. But here, we are talking about very, 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 very expensive resources. Their billing rate is one of the highest. Sometimes they are higher than than the CEOs. So you really need to measure your costs, as well as when you look at segments such as your cities, not-for-profit, the number of dimensions that they are going to have to be able to track budget, it's just enormous. Okay, so that's why this integration matters a lot as well. And that's why they are offering all of that out of the box. If you look at the suite for Workday, they are going to have very similar suite as well, which is going to be your FP&A. Okay, they are going to have ERP, they are going to have HCM, and they are also going to have indirect procurement. So if you look at the real comparable for your unit four, that's probably going to be Workday. Financial Force is kind of there, but it's not there. They have finance, they have PSA, they don't have HCM. They rely on Salesforce for CRM. These guys are going to have a little bit of CRM, but this is a complete suite, you know, overall from the service perspective. The other comparable for Unit 4 is also going to be Blackboard, which is for the SMB segment. They compete with the vanilla ERP as well, but for the most part, for the SMB segment, if you look at the complete suite, Blackboard is going to be their mid-market comparison. Some of the other ERP systems that are comparable to your Unit 4 is Sage Intacct. Sage Intacct is positioned for service-centric verticals. That's why it is going to have very different philosophy, you know, the way product is structured. Now, NetSuite is very different product. They also target a lot more service-centric verticals, but they have a little bit of product-centric functionality as well. But for the most part, the way product is designed, the way suite is designed, their core industries are service-centric for the most part. I don't have anything else here. I think the other thing that I would like to touch on is the contracts lifecycle management, and that is that P2P functionality. Inside the P2P functionality, also you have several different components that are going to be part of that. Number one is going to be your marketplace. You know, that is all, what is that, guided buying. You know, from the user perspective, they have that. You have substantial RFP component as part of that. The strategic sourcing you have. So you are going to have all of that functionality as part of this. And this is coming from the acquisition that they did recently. These guys did not necessarily have the P2P functionality as part of the product. They had ERP, they had ACM, they always had ACM capabilities. They didn't have the this S2C functionality. They had a little bit of P2P component, but now they have included the S2C functionality as well after their acquisition of ScanMarkey. From their industry perspective, as you can see, number one, they are going to have professional services, public sector, not-for-profit, higher education. These are their target industries. These are also very unique industries overall because they require a lot more customized workflows compared to your product-centric industry. The amount of custom workflows that you are going to need, because each of the not-for-profit is uniquely different. They have very different processes, so you require far more customizable ERP. So any of the service-centric ERPs that you are going to look at, they all are going to have that customizability aspect, including Oracle Cloud ERP, which is also a very service-centric ERP. Yes, they have slightly more diverse capabilities, and most of the larger products, they are going to have diverse capabilities, but for the most part, their target verticals are really service-centric. Okay, so now we have some commentary coming from the market analysis, and these are different news. I guess we have gone back in time. So here they are talking about some of the growth stories coming from 2019. So they are saying cloud subscription revenue grew 25% in 2019 to roughly, what, 92 million with 27% growth in Q4. So right now, overall, their market share is going to be, I think, almost like $500 million, which is a lot. So they are really big ERP vendor. And we are going to talk about their private equity as well, the one that is owning them, which is very big in general. So this is the significant growth in North America and Nordics market. So this is primarily an European solution, but they have done a lot of business in North America as well. They've been a lot, primarily because they don't necessarily have a competition. At least, based on our understanding of the market, Workday is probably going to be the closest competition for them. But even Workday is not going to have very specific education, operational workflow for education, which is very, 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 very different workflow. Building that functionality would cost millions and millions of dollars. So these guys are very unique in the way they are designed. Nobody can compete with them. Most of the ERP vendors are going to struggle. One thing that you are going to notice there is most of their executive teams is coming from the HCM world. Again, HCM matters a lot. HCM is very thick in terms of the core. If you look at the enterprise grade human capital management solution, they are very thick as well. Okay, the whole HR department gets very thick in terms of the kind of processes that they need to maintain, especially if you are going to be a very large enterprise where you are going to have 20,000 people, then the HR processes become very robust as well. So that's what HCM is generally for, and their executive team is coming from very enterprise grade products. For example, Mike Etling is the CEO. He used to be the president of SuccessFactors, and now he is heading this. So typically, by looking at the background, you can tell, where these people are coming from and what was their core focus. So their core focus was always that HCM bucket. And typically, with other ERP systems, you are either going to require another HCM system, or they are not going to be as tightly embedded, integrated, so you don't get the same experience as you are going to get with these guys. But their bread and butter was always HCM. So here, the other executive is coming from SuccessFactors as well. Chris is coming from Workday. We have already identified them as the competitor. Then we have Andy. Andy is coming from SuccessFactors too. And this guy, who's this? She is the channel person. Yeah. And she is coming from Ultimate, Software. And that is also your HCM. So all of these companies are really in that HCM category. But Unit 4 is the only one which really has the ERP integrated. Obviously, Workday is another. This is the customer story. And some of the things that you're going to find here, obviously, the date is 2020. So it's, the commentary is coming from 2020 here. Here they are saying a new integrated approach to talent management will also drive people in project performance through in-the-moment feedback and transparent goal setting mapped to the company strategy. They'll also make a far more meaningful one-to-one conversation between manager and employee, ensuring performance expectations are met. So these are core problems typically in the service-centric industries. The communication between your employee to manager matters a lot. Typically for manufacturing companies, it's not as critical. Even though they are going to talk about that, but it's not as critical. But here, the employee experience matters a lot as well, because some of the tech companies, if you really look at their core talent, like CTO. Now, CTO is a big deal for a tech company. The reason for that is because development of that technology is driving the entire revenue. And if they are going to be slightly more consumer-centric, then you don't even have sales. So the skill sets matter a lot. So here they are talking about some of the companies that are using Unit 4. Can you believe this? Okay. So they have companies like FTI Consulting, BDO, okay, GT, which is the Grant Thornton, okay, and then Brevida. Now, if you look at BDO and GT, they are one of the largest accounting firms, okay? They have ERP consulting practices. They are implementing ERP systems for other companies, and they are using a very different system than what they are selling. So now, based on that, you can determine that these industries are very unique. So if you are going to be like BDO or GT, then you are looking for a system like this. Obviously, you need to be at their size as well. The size matters a lot. Now, we have some more commentary here. So they are talking about some of the replacement that they have done, I believe. So no, this is just the competition, not necessarily the replacement. I don't have anything else here except, it is really the European solution. That's where they implemented this. And if you have anything, please let me know. Otherwise, I'll move to the next one. Okay, so this commentary is coming from 2020 as well, I believe. So here they are talking about their revenue. So they said it's roughly 400 million revenue, were up 5% from the prior year and include jump in cloud subscription revenue. So again, I think there are only so many companies that are closer to that 500 million or 500 million and up mark. You can literally count on fingers right now. SAP, Oracle, Microsoft, Infor, Epicor, Sage, if you call that ERP company, okay, they are going to be there. IFS is there, but then Unit 4, you don't have anything else. Maybe QAD, but that's the extent of it. So they definitely have very high revenue, primarily because they are able to win much larger deals than other ERP vendors. Now, some of the things that have been noted here, and I don't know, I think we have spoken about this one in the Financial Force presentation, that they were investor in Financial Force just because Salesforce was becoming really big and Financial Force was doing really well, but then they are not as involved there, but they were definitely, and Financial Force is a very service-centric ERP as well. Okay, so some of the things that you need to notice overall from the not-for-profit functionality perspective, and it gets very deep in general. Typically for not-for-profit, the CRM as well as ERP, they both are equally complex in general. Okay, and that's what makes each of the not-for-profit very unique and very complex. So here they are saying, did Unit 4 beat both NetSuite and Sage Intacct? Typically, you are going to see a lot of NetSuite and Sage Intacct at the subsidiary level. You might see Sage Intacct as the financial ledger, as the corporate ledger. But, when you talk about the depth of functionality, incorporating all of that, then, that's when you sort of look into the enterprise scenario. And that is something systems like the Unit 4 will be able to handle. So here they are talking about Habitat for Humanity. Monterey Bay in California uses NetSuite. And that is very believable that they must be doing. Typically, they are going to have a lot of solutions at the subsidiary level. And then they are talking about Habitat for Humanity, New Orleans, uses Sage Intacct. Typically, each of the departments or subsidiary, they are going to have their own decisions in the system that they are going to buy. But after that, you can't really scale the processes. So somebody is going to come in and they probably will integrate all of this. So Unit 4 people-centric ERP provides both project and grant management combined with integrated people planning and financial reporting. And the grant management itself, it's almost like, Andy, when you look at the grant management, and when you look at some of the reporting standards that we have, they are as developed as your FASB right now for the public reporting. The way you are going to report to your SEC, they have very similar reporting standards, even though they are not for profit. And that you have to do for every single company that is offering you money. Can you believe? And that gets very, very, very complex because you need to track that at each of the project, each of the initiative. Sometimes they are going to have constraints such as you cannot share the resources. Sometimes they are going to have constraints that, okay, only this particular race is supposed to work on this particular project. So it gets very, very, very deep. And again, information such as race, where do you get that in your scheduling workflow? You have to get that from your HCM system because ERP does not keep that in general. So very, very, very different workflow and processes. Now, the donor management itself, it's a very CRM-centric workflow that's very thick. Systems such as your Salesforce are going to have very deep functionality for donor management, but not a lot of systems are going to be sophisticated to provide you the end-to-end traceability that you are going to require from the donor management perspective. And that's where these guys sort of come in there, and they provide that capability. Okay, so this one is very new, and Andy, I don't know whether you have heard about this one. It's called Social Reporting Standard. Okay, and they are developing social reporting standards. They are making these guys accountable as much as your for-profit companies. And these frameworks are going to be as complex as your SEC reporting, the kind of reporting that you need to do there. Right now, if you look at most of the not-for-profit, they are not as stringent in general, depending upon what kind of work you are doing, who's funding you. Some are stringent, some are not. But for the most part, there is a lot of flexibility in the not-for-profit world. But people are arguing that they should have the same accountability. So they are trying to create this framework. Okay, if you don't have any comments, I will move to the next slide. Andy, so we did a little bit of research in terms of where the stage is of SRS and if any systems are able to support the SRS standards that some companies are going to require. But the framework itself is not as developed, and we don't have a lot of ERP systems that can really support. At least they don't have the formal definition that they can support. By the way, one more point to note with most of the ERP, if they are going to be selling to not-for-profit, the accounting standards are very different as well, and they are generally going to have a not-for-profit module. That's the requirement even from the accounting perspective. Generally, any of the accountants, CFOs, if they practice in the not-for-profit world, they have to get not-for-profit certification. That's why the module for not-for-profit matters. So not a lot of ERP systems can support that. Only few that are really serving in the not-for-profit space. It's a very different accounting. So here, we were talking about the private equity, I guess. So this one is TA Associates. That is the one that has funded them. They have several different companies in their portfolio. And so some of the companies that they have is, Andy, out of all of this, we have reviewed pretty much everything, I guess. So they have AdvantChef, which was the new ERP company that they created 1 year back, I guess, during COVID. Can you believe this? But private equity is amazing the way they think and work. They can create ERP out of anywhere. then you have Aptean. iSIMS is a very ACM-centric solution. It's not a real ERP. Some people are going to argue that that's ERP as well. But that's not necessarily ERP. ERP, it's going to be human capital management solution. And then they have Priority as well, which is a company from Israel. And then IFS. So these are the companies that they have in their portfolio. And they have bought it for $2 billion in 2021. So their valuation is very high. So obviously, you kind of know that they are not going anywhere. They are one of the largest ERP companies. Okay, so this is coming from 2021. And they have announced some of the go-lives. So here they are talking about 120 successful go-lives, which is very low in general, for an ERP company. But if you look at the kind of customers that they have, they really have SAP and Oracle sized customers, and that's why the number of logos that you are going to see or the number of go-lives that you are going to see are not going to be as many. So here we are talking about GBS, ALE Municipality, North Sea Port, Golden Lane Housing Limited, and these all companies are going to be part of that service-centric portfolio. Okay, so that's where you sort of draw the line between service as well as your product-centric industry. So you are also going to have, Basingstoke and DN Borough Council. So any of the councils are going to be part of this market as well. Then they are talking about more complex multinational requirements according to Unit 4 announcements. They are saying Unit 4 says Comprite. This is the Comprite acquisition that they have done. And this is the compensation planning software when you are going to be very internationally operated. So that's what they have acquired. Again, the kind of capabilities that they are going to acquire are going to be very different. So here they are saying Unit 4 says CompRite automates the entire compensation process utilizing all key factors required to calculate fair and rational total rewards across multiple geographies. CompRite features workflow automation that includes budgeting, data integration connecting with payroll, and organizational information and analytics. All of those are technical information, but for the most part, they are really in that workflow planning, workflow automation centric, space in the enterprise software world. Now we have some more commentary here. So this is also the growth announcement, I guess. And here this is also coming from 2021, where they are saying with 11% total bookings growth and 34 new customers signed, including North Seaport, the Volvo Dealers Associations, any of the associations are going to be part of the service industries as well. Then they have Punch Consulting, any of the consulting, any of the school district, all of those are going to be part of that, service-centric ERP space. This is the same announcement. I guess it is coming from different media. So this one is also in 2021. And, they were in many different countries overall from their penetration perspective or from the capability perspective for compensation planning. Okay, Andy, any comments? No? Okay, perfect. So some more comments here. So this one is in 2022. So this is a very recent acquisition. Scan Market was positioned as one of the disruptive, P2P players in the procurement space. But most of these SaaS applications, they are going to be merged with your ERP as a feature. That's what happened to Scan Market. So you can be cool SaaS today, but you are essentially a feature for an ERP in general. The way enterprise software market works. So this is the Scan Market, a global vendor for cloud source to contract software. So this is a very specific process in your procurement. That's what they really specialized in. So they bought them to complement their existing capabilities. And they did what sourcing, spend analytics, supplier management, contract lifecycle management. Customers include, Emirates, flight, catering. And again, their customers are going to be very similar to your Unit 4. You have NatWest, you have ISS, facility services, you have cancer support, institute. So all of these customers are very similar. Again, if you look at the customers for Workday, they are also going to be very similar. They have done very similar acquisition or they have developed very similar capabilities. So the right comparison here is probably going to be Workday. Okay, so here, so I was talking about the picture, the beautiful picture, right? And you would never see a picture in your manufacturing scheduling software. So here, the picture matters a lot because they are going to have their own schedule and you need to schedule based on their availability. Their skill set is going to be very unique. So that's the real difference between the allocation process, the kind of scheduling processes that you are going to have. So anything from the operational capacity planning, the processes in your service-centric industry are very, 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 very different from your product-centric industry. I don't have anything else. And that's why this is called PSA. PSA is a specific name for the professional services automation, and it's really designed for that service-centric space. You are going to have a standalone software. So Financial Force, Workday, as well as this one, they all are under that. They all are going to have at least PSA as a component, or they might be PSA themselves. But this particular component is called PSA. Okay, so again, the kind of processes that you're going to see in their software, for example, utilization. Utilization is a very different metric. And that is only going to be relevant in your service-centric categories because the utilization is one of the most important factors. The way your inventory accuracy is going to be in your manufacturing, retail, distribution, number of picks in your distribution. Here, everything is utilization. These are very billable companies. For them, the only thing that they have is human resources, and those human resources are very, 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 very expensive. So utilization matters a lot. That's why everything is driven by utilization. Overall, if you look at, again, their scheduling process, the way they are going to be billing, they have that individual identified in their scheduling. The T&E matters a lot as well. So you are going to have that. WIP is very different. The way their WIP is going to be, revenue recognition workflows and the processes that you're going to have are uniquely different in these spaces. Most of the product-centric industries, unless they are doing very long-term contract, they are probably not going to have those workflows built up. In this particular case, it matters a lot. Even invoices have resources identified. Can you believe this? You are never going to see the resources on the invoices in any other industries unless you are in slightly more billable industries. Some companies do that, some companies don't do that, depending upon how they want to highlight. But individual matters in these industries. And that's why they like to call it as people-centric ERP, because everything is about people. Then the projects, again, the projects that you are going to have, even if you are going to have very similar projects in spaces such as, for example, let's say if you look at IFS. IFS is a very service-centric ERP as well. But the kind of services that they are going to do are going to be very different. For them, the EAM matters a lot. The field services matters a lot. Okay, but they are very project-driven in their cases as well. The skill set is going to matter, but their target industries are very different. They are going to have a little bit of overlap in product and service, but you know, this is a pure play service. These are consulting, professional services, not-for-profit, education, etc. That's where their real power is. What else? So here we have some of the screenshots from the financial management capabilities, capabilities such as your commitment accounting, contract accounting. Contract accounting you might find in the aerospace verticals, but that's pretty much it. I mean, you are not going to find anywhere else unless you have very long-term and expensive contracts, unless you don't have. Commitment accounting is a very different feature as well. And again, this exists only in the service-centric spaces. Other than that, there might be some overlap, I guess, but the local statutory is going to be very different as well, because this is a HCM software. So here the county level, the local laws matter a lot as well, because the labor laws are going to be driven by those. So again, the kind of processes that you have inside ERP, the kind of data you have inside ERP is very different from your HCM software. The kind of confidentiality, security that you are going to require inside your HCM is very different as well. Now, this is a very different view of the P2P process. So this is not necessarily e-commerce. Some people might feel that this is e-commerce, but this is the e-commerce for your own employees. This is the guided buying process inside your P2P software. So they have integrated this as part of the same. So this is going to be the merge of P2P, HCM, as well as ERP, plus FP&A. That's what they are doing here. You are going to find these capabilities in software such as your Coupa, Ariba. Those are software designed for P2P category, but they are slightly more standalone software. This is integrated with everything else that these service companies are going to be needing. Some more capabilities here. These are the capabilities that are coming from FP&A. Again, the kind of data model that your FP&A has is very different as well. You need to augment a lot more data layer. In fact, the entire GL is going to have its own sort of dimensions and flavors, because you are doing a lot more analysis. Typically, the data model for your ERP is going to be very different. So again, FP&A is a very different software category. In this particular case, your FP&A is going to be integrated with your ERP. Now, your Workday is going to integrate that. You are going to find this with, Oracle. Oracle does that integration out of the box. They provide that. You are going to find this with NetSuite, but let's say with the other platforms, they might not necessarily have FP&A integrated with it. Infor probably has that. Now, I believe, AppyCore just bought a company. They are probably doing FP&A as well, but then you have the pure play FP&A vendor as well, that are doing pure play FP&A. Okay, so here we have some more reviews. So this one is coming from 2022. And just to look at the title, so here, the majority of the titles that you're going to see are going to be very HR related. So here, this person is compensation benefits specialist. That's a very HR centric title. And here the company size is $50 to $250 million. They went live in 2020 and the country is Pakistan. Okay, that's where they installed. So they have very global presence in general. You are not going to find a lot more logos in the US. You will find a lot more European, Asian, countries logo where they have installed them. Okay, one of the best features that was highlighted in this review is they have built-in payroll software solutions enable our HR team to manage the pre-payroll, actual payroll, and post-payroll activities with the great speed, confidence, and efficiency. We can also create unique self-assessment forms and set user-identified appraisal timelines directly in the platform. Here, the industry is consumer goods. So I don't know why they are using this in consumer goods. This is probably not the best software, but we have seen even Workday being installed in retail in consumer-centric verticals as well. Now, if they install this, let's say in construction, I'm kind of okay with that. But, consumer goods is definitely a stretch. You are not going to get the real value from the software, and they are primarily using this for the HCM processes, maybe for financial, but this is not the right ERP for your industry. Now, we have one more review. So here, this is coming from Director of Finance and Resources. This is coming from Mid-Market. We don't really have the industry highlighted here. So 51,000 employees, which is slightly lower than what we have seen their average size customers. So this is also from 2020. And they are saying not a true cloud solution for small to medium sized operations. And Mark is right. This is a legacy solution. So you are going to find legacy feeling in the screens, in the software. So this is not necessarily your cloud native software. By the way, some customers are also going to feel that this is harder to use. And the reason why it is harder to use is because it's cross-functionally integrated. Any systems that are going to be cross-functionally integrated, regardless of whether they are ERP or not ERP, they all are going to be slightly harder to use. And the reason for that is because you require cross-functional knowledge to be able to complete your workflow. And most of the companies, the way they are organized, they are fairly siloed in nature. That's why people feel that cloud native software or the cloud software are going to be slightly easier to use. So again, depending upon what you're looking for, if you want that process integration, the bigger you are going to be, the more process integration you are going to require. So here they are saying comprehensive functionality good for education. So the user has highlighted that they have very specific functionality for education that you are not going to find in many software. We saw that in ERP Next. I don't know, Andy, whether you remember that or not. ERP Next has some workflows related to education. Again, that's a very unique workflow. Not-for-profit is a very unique vertical as well. So education, you are only going to find in Unit 4. You are probably going to find in Blackboard. And ERP Next is probably the third option. I don't know if any other options have the education-centric, especially in the ERP space. Support is offshore and not that good. I mean, that's probably typical with any vendors, I guess, right now. You know, and support is not supposed to be as good. So don't complain about that. So now we have Robin. Robin is coming from government administration. This is the right industry for them. You know, they have roughly, what, 200 to 500 employees. You know, this is coming from 5 years ago. City of Port, what is that? Coquitlam. Coquitlam, you know, likes ERP in the cloud. The city had a very good overall experience with Unit 4 Business World, providing the core financial systems for the city, along with supporting products such as inventory, purchasing, project costing. Project costing is the term that I don't think anybody has used so far, but when you care for project costing, that's where you require that cross-functional integration, especially with HCM processes in these verticals. So project costing is going to be very similar to your product costing in your product-centric industries, where you are looking at the costing of the individual, either services or the product. So here we are looking at project costing, payroll. They are saying inventory, but the inventory that service-centric industries are going to have is going to be very different. Typically, you have very, in the product-centric ERP systems, the service inventory is very different. MRO inventory is very different. It is a completely different layer. It has nothing to do with the core inventory. So here, the inventory that they are carrying, it's either going to be MRO inventory, or they might have some of the office supplies, etc., that they might be carrying. You know, sure, for city, they might have something like equipment. Sometimes that could be assets, but their inventory needs are going to be fairly, fairly lean. One challenge that you're going to find, so they have complained about some functionality is only available in a FAT client and not in a web browser. This you are going to find with every single legacy solution. If their you know, web version is going to be different from your FAT client, that you are going to experience with Blackboard. They all are struggling in porting their code on cloud. Any of the legacy vendors, it doesn't matter whether Epicor, Infor, Unit 4, Sage X3, all of them are very legacy code based. Unless you were born in the cloud, then you are probably not going to have this problem. And that is only applicable for solutions like, you know, Plex. Who else is born in the cloud? Salesforce, obviously. From the ERP perspective, Acumatica, NetSuite is probably not going to have that problem. But those are the only ones. Microsoft, probably, they have ported most of their code on the cloud native architecture. So you are probably not going to have that problem either. 2021, right, they are talking about Unit 4 as a single platform to manage your organization. So we have information technology and services, 500 to 1,000 employees, not supported across devices. And again, this is the problem that you're going to find with any of the legacy solution. They might have a mobile app, but for the most part, the experience that you're going to get in that mobile app is not going to be as immersive. The entire functionality may not be exposed through mobile app. It's just a, you know, very legacy integration with your legacy platform. So you are not going to find good support or seamless support that you're going to find in these cloud native systems. Only work well on web. Their error messages are very technical and hard to understand. The actual issue for a non-technical person, that's a very common issue that we see with a lot of platforms, especially if they are not going to have a channel. So typically the solutions that are going to have a channel, their documentation is slightly friendlier compared to the other solutions. Issues with their updates, and then have to again customize the software as per our requirement. I don't think I have any other comments there. Andy, I think we are at 628 point. What would you like to do? Do you have how many comments do you have?
Just a quick summary.
Okay. So wrap right now then. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah.
I mean, Unifor has been around for a long time. It's a very, very successful company, and I didn't realize it was so strong in HCM in comparison. I actually thought it was good for shop scheduling too, but I guess not. No, I was totally wrong.
No, there's no way. I mean, I don't think they target any of the manufacturing. I think they will reject. They are not designed for manufacturing. Hopefully they reject. Hopefully you are dealing with a salesperson who really knows what they are doing.
No, you're completely right. Completely right.
Yeah, but I mean, I would be shocked if they were competing in manufacturing. But I mean, we have seen in consumer goods, which is...
I've never seen them in manufacturing. So, but when I have seen their information, it was to do with scheduling, and I just assumed it meant shop scheduling. But no, I've been corrected.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, the places where you may have seen them for scheduling, maybe slightly more professional services companies, consulting companies,
employees.
Some of the field service companies, let's say if you look at slightly more architectural firms or the engineering firms, okay,
right.
Their skill set is very similar to your professional services, but then they also have manufacturing process.
Right.
Yeah. So it's very different scheduling, I guess. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Sam.
Of course. Andy, any other comments?
No.
Okay. Perfect. All right, guys. So that's it for today. If you joined for the first time, this was part of our industry series for which we meet every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you guys are going to be here next week. We are going to come back with another vendor or the solution. On that note, thanks everyone for tuning in tonight.
I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show, for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests, and hopefully you learned something new today. If you want to learn more about Dave Chrysler, head over to thechrysler.club. It's thechrysler.club. If you want to learn more about Andy Pratico, head over to essoft.com. It's essoft.com. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to catch you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.